Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, April 19th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Lexington will be the host of the NCAA basketball tournament in 2021. But why are people so excited about it? One former Kentucky football player is sadly getting very desperate. The biggest villain in college basketball will be around one more year to kick around, no pun intended. The first place Reds win again. The Boston Celtics appear to be done. One current college basketball player says he's going to be the MVP of the NBA next season. One NFL general manager is sticking it to his players. And we have not one but two Mac Daddy Stogie NBA picks for tonight using our trusted zigzag playoff theory. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Lexington media seemed very happy yesterday when Rupp Arena was awarded the first and second round games in the NCAA basketball tournament in the year 2021. Yes, that's 4 years down the road. That should tell you what kind of stories there are bumping around here locally in Lexington these days, because there's nothing happening. But we at the Bottom Line are still rolling, so don't you worry about that. But my thing is, why are people so excited about Lexington getting the basketball tournament? The first and second round of the tournament. The last time it was here was in 2013. And the Lexington Herald Leader even showed a picture of game action going on in the second round when Louisville was playing Colorado State. And the stands were literally barely half full. Probably not even half full. And let's just be honest, these first and second round games on a nationwide basis, they don't exactly get sellouts. Unless your favorite team is playing, who wants to go to these games? I'd rather sit home and watch them on television, because you can watch all the games that are happening. Or in a perfect world, you get to go out to Las Vegas and watch them at the sports books while you've got next year's mortgage on the line. So the fact that Rupp Arena gets these games, it's okay. But I mean, don't expect sellouts. Because the last time it was here, they didn't get close to sellouts. And let's just be honest, these first and second round games don't get sellouts anywhere in the country. Now, if you're talking about the regional games, the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8, then that's a different story. People could show up to those. There's not a whole lot of games going on when those games are played. So if you go to these games, you're not missing a whole lot of action elsewhere. But these first and second round games, some places, they can't even draw flies. So congratulations to Rupp Arena and the city of Lexington for getting the tournament. But what did you really get? I'll tell you one team that won't show up for those first and second round games, Duke, because if you go back to 2002, when Duke played Indiana in the Sweet 16 at Rupp Arena, that might have been one of the biggest home court advantages ever, because it was basically a home crowd for Indiana going up against Duke, who at that time was the defending national champion and the number one team in the nation the next year. And they lost basically a road game at Indiana when they lost at Rupp Arena in the Sweet 16. And in fact, after that game, you can hear Coach K crying about what a home court advantage Indiana had. And not coincidentally, Duke has never played at Rupp Arena since that game. Go figure. One place that will not begin in the NCAA tournament is the state of New Jersey. Why is that? Because New Jersey is trying to pass sports gambling. We've said it once, we've said it a million times. Within the next 5 to 10 years, sports gambling will be legal nationwide. So to turn your back on it and to punish places that are trying to pass it, that's just an old school mentality that's not going to fly once these laws are passed in the years to come.
Come on, give you the real grit on the inside. Stop this great character with the chains around his neck and the gruff voice. He's a real gambler from Las Vegas. The devil himself is bringing you this.
More college basketball. Dominique Hawkins, formerly of Kentucky now, he doesn't play for them anymore, sent a letter to the Big Blue Nation thanking them for being such big fans to him. Now, everybody said, oh, how sweet. What a kind gesture. And it is. God bless him for doing it. But there's just the bottom line part of us that says, do you think maybe he's doing this to get more money at those autograph signings he's got coming up in the near future? Do you think he's saying this to maybe get a few more dollars in his pocket when he hits this autograph tour coming up? Do you think somebody got in his ear and said this and said maybe this will be worth a few extra dollars in your pocket? I don't mean to sound negative. I don't mean to sound like an old curmudgeon, but we deal in reality here on the Bottom Line. We don't deal in unicorns and leprechauns and pots of gold at the end of the rainbow. I'm sure Dominique Hawkins is a nice kid, but the timing of this letter, a little bit suspicious. And if you don't think that somebody got in his ear and told him to do this, then maybe you haven't been out in the real world enough to see how it really works.
I'm gonna punch you in the next week, buddy.
Why don't you punch me in the Wednesday? That's payday.
More college basketball. Hey, good news for you Duke fans. Grayson Allen will be returning for his senior year. Hard to believe this guy's a senior. It seems like he just got to Duke. Now he's a senior. So, the best villain in college basketball since Christian Laettner will be returning for his senior year at Duke. Oh, and by the way, Shaquille O'Neal's son, Sharif, has spurned both LSU and Kentucky, the perceived frontrunners, and Shaq's kid will be going to Arizona. He announced that this morning, but he won't take the court until November of next year. That's where we're at as a society now. We're giving all these kids attention, like Shaq's kid. He's not going to be on the court for another 19 months. Why should we even pay attention? I don't know either.
Rise and fire. Oh, he double dribbles. He has a hot sauce handle. From uptown. From the parking lot. He's brawling. Shazam!
More college basketball. Johnny Dawkins was the coach at Stanford for 8 years. During that time, he made one NCAA tournament, and not one time in those 8 years did he lose fewer than 11 games. Dawkins was fired last year, immediately got a job at Central Florida, but now Dawkins is suing Stanford for being fired. If you're at Stanford, a team that back in the 90s actually had it going on with Mike Montgomery, heck, they played Kentucky in the Final Four in 1998. And to be honest, if you watch that game, Stanford probably should have won that game. If you're Johnny Dawkins and you go to Stanford and you make one tournament in 8 years, sorry, dude, you deserve to be fired. This is the real world, like we always say on this show. Jesus Christ himself has to make the tournament more than once every 8 years, or he would get fired. Just saying. Johnny Dawkins has no case. College football. There's a new tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, at least he's trying out. And his name is Patrick Toles. Yes, the former Kentucky quarterback was seen working out yesterday with the Cincinnati Bengals as a tight end. I'm all about following your dreams in life. I'm all about going against public, what's deemed as conventional wisdom in the public. I'm all for that. But if you're Patrick Toles and you've played quarterback your whole life and now you're just doing anything to get a tryout like playing tight end, Mr. Toles, sir, God bless you. You might want to start getting your resume together. Because something tells me come the fall this year, there will be no place for you in the National Football League. And it's not like basketball, where if you're decent but just not good enough for the NBA, you can go overseas and play somewhere. There's no American football leagues anywhere else in the world. This is pretty much it, unless you play in the Arena League. But God bless Patrick Toles for trying to keep his career alive. But I'm sorry. Patrick Toles' career was over the day he donned a Harry Potter costume on the cover of the Kentucky Football Media Guide a couple of years ago. That's when his career died.
If I gave you a dollar, you could keep most of the change, because all I really want is a quarterback. A
few other college football notes. University of Georgia coach Kirby Smart has informed the Georgia media that they cannot report on injuries to Georgia football players without his approval. Huh. So in other words, Kirby Smart is controlling every aspect of Georgia football. Wow. Wonder where he got that from. Oh, yeah. He was once an assistant for Nick Saban. That's where he got it.
It's no secret that I think Nick Saban is a horrible human. And it doesn't help that he just hired that whiny, arrogant, beautiful Lane Kiffin.
More college football. The University of Tennessee has one of the highest rated recruits coming in next year. And his name is Trey Smith. And apparently he had an argument with Ole Miss recruit Tony Gray earlier this year. And the video came out yesterday in which Trey Smith beat the crap out of Tony Gray in some hotel room. He used a few racial epithets toward him, which is funny since they're both African-American. And apparently the scuffle was over a set of headphones. Now, I'm sure these headphones aren't the little $19.99 headphones that I use. Probably some Dr. Dre beats that cost you know, a couple hundred bucks or whatever. But still, headphones are going to cause you to beat the crap out of someone. Okay. But the sad thing about this is that this is the kind of mentality that college football coaches, especially these assistants like the offensive line coach or whatever, they love things like this. And they encourage their players to do stuff like this. That's the world we live in today, ladies and gentlemen.
Personal foul. I will pick this up. On number 99 of the defense, after he tackled the quarterback, he's giving them business down there at the 15-yard penalty.
Baylor University, where their football program has broken more rules than most brothels in Las Vegas, thinks they're getting one over on the American public by hiring a president that just happens to be female. Because now they're telling the world, hey, look at us. We don't have anything against women. We just hired a female president. So of course we're looking out for the best interests of women, despite what you might have heard about our football team. If this isn't an admission of guilt, I don't know what is. Because under any other circumstance, there's no way on God's green earth that the good old boy system at a school like Baylor is gonna let a woman be the president of that school before a man. So if you don't think that Baylor was up to no good before this, this was a complete telltale sign that Baylor is completely guilty. Hey, you can't get us for demeaning women. We just hired a female president. Uh-huh. CYA, baby. You know what that means. The NBA. Two playoff games last night. The Clippers and Toronto both evened up their series at 1-1 before switching venues for Game 3. But one team that went down 0-2 is now the number one seed Boston Celtics, who are down 0-2 to the Bulls, headed back to Chicago for Games 3 and 4. A complete meltdown by the Celtics. And yes, Isaiah Thomas lost his sister over the weekend. That has a lot to do with it, I'm sure. But the Celtics are also self-destructing. Marcus Smart flipped off his own home crowd fans last night, double barrel style, and Rajon Rondo, who apparently only shows up for the playoffs these days, almost getting a triple-double, insinuated that the Celtics gave up last night when they got down by a few points. Now, whether that's legit or not, that's Rondo. You can never pay attention to what he says. But my thing is this. Who's the best player for either one of these teams? Isaiah Thomas? Well, maybe his mind's not in it right now. Jimmy Butler's the best player on either team. So now you're looking at an 8 seed about to go over on a number 1 seed. It's happened before, but it doesn't happen very often. And if the Bulls get through this one, can't you see that Cavs-Bulls conference final showdown? LeBron versus Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler. I bet that would get higher ratings than Boston and the Cavs. I can promise you that.
He's heating up. He's on fire.
The New York Knicks lost again yesterday. Well, how's that? The Knicks and Minnesota were tied 31-51 records this year. So they had to have the proverbial lottery to see which team would get the higher pick if neither made the lottery. And of course, Minnesota's ping pong ball came up. And it's got to be further insulting the Knicks fans that the guy who announced it was Kiki Vandeweghe, a former New York Knick. So even in the offseason, the Knicks can't win, ping pong balls or no.
We now return to the NBA on TNT on LSD.
Man, I'm out my mind!
Markelle Fultz is either the number one or the number two pick in the coming NBA draft, depending on who you listen to. And a reporter asked him yesterday about Lonzo Ball claiming that he, Lonzo Ball, was the best player in the draft coming up and should be the number one pick. Markelle Fultz, who played on a Washington team this year that was the worst team in the Pac-12 and only won 8 games all season, then proceeded to laugh at Lonzo Ball and said that, I'm not worried about that because I'm going to win the MVP next year. Well, Markelle Fultz, nothing you showed us in college would make you think you're even worthy of a starting position in the NBA next year, much less being an MVP. Because if you can't win at Washington in the Pac-12, if you're on the last place team in the Pac-12, what makes you think you can go to a team like, oh, I don't know, trust the process, the Sixers, and immediately be an MVP candidate? One thing about these two guys, Lonzo Ball and Markelle Fultz, they're not shy. We'll give them that.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Major League Baseball, the Reds won again last night, 9-3. Bronson Arroyo, his first win in 1,038 days. Seems like a long time ago. Arroyo lowered his ERA to 8.40, and he's the first 40-year-old pitcher to win a game as a starter for the Reds since a guy named Boom Boom Beck in 1945. Boom Boom Beck. They don't make nicknames like they used to, do they, ladies and gentlemen? Arroyo went five innings. His fastball got all the way up to 86 last night. Woo, he was humming it. So I guess he gets to stay in the rotation one more round, even though his ERA is 8.40. Star of the game, Adam Duvall, grand slam, five RBIs. Joey Votto hits another home run. He was 2-for-3. And of course, as only Joey Votto does, he walked twice. Zach Cozart keeping his average over 400. Ted Williams, look out, 425. Then again, he did the same thing last year. And as we said on this show, we warned you he'd be down to 250 by the end of the year. And lo and behold, he was at 250 by the end of the year. The 1-2 hitters who we cut on Monday for having only two combined walks all season long in the first 2 weeks, Billy Hamilton and Jose Peraza, hey, lo and behold, they both walked once. So last night they equaled their base on ball production for the first 2 weeks of the season in one game. And of course, they both got a stolen base. It's amazing how that works out. Get on base, you get more chances to steal bases. Who knew? Orioles threw a curveball last night. We thought Ubaldo Jimenez, who was the listed starter early Tuesday morning, got replaced by Kevin Gausman, and the Orioles immediately regretted that decision because he got blown up. Reds bullpen on fire yet again. Four innings, six strikeouts, no runs. And in fact, Drew Storen had the immaculate inning, not to be confused with Franco Harris's immaculate reception, which actually hit the ground. But that's another story for another day. The immaculate inning of baseball is when you have nine pitches and strike out three guys and strike out three batters. One, two, three, you're out. Kind of like the old Bugs Bunny changeup. It's only happened four times in Reds history, twice by guys you've never heard of, and another time by Rob Dibble. Of course, if you asked me to guess one of the Reds players that had ever done that, Dibble would have been one of my guesses. Reds and Orioles game two tonight. Orioles 8-4, Ubaldo Jimenez will pitch tonight, 10.38 ERA. 9-5 Reds, National League Central leaders. We knew you'd say that 2 weeks in. Amir Garrett, 1.42 ERA, going for the Reds. Here's a stat that you'll never hear. Last 29 interleague games, Baltimore's 21-8. Last 53 interleague games for the Reds, they're 16-37. But all that means nothing. Orioles a minus 108 as we speak, which means you're getting a little bit of value with the Reds. I could not touch this game. The Reds, yet again, their bullpen was taxed a little bit last night. But Amir Garrett has been the much better starting pitcher than Ubaldo Jimenez this year. A game I won't touch, but as we've said the last few days, you're getting a little bit of value on the Reds. Maybe not as much as last night, but tonight you're getting a little bit of value.
Okay. Out to cast the first pitch now, a fan favorite, he who has not sinned.
Other baseball, Starling Marte of the Pirates is now facing an 80-game suspension for testing positive for steroids. He was set to make $5.3 million this year, so cut that in half. And he's still got a guaranteed, after this year, $21 million remaining on his contract. So all that money's guaranteed. So this dude's going to be okay financially either way. People sleeping how good this guy was. People say Andrew McCutchen all the time. This is arguably the Pirates' best player in the last 4 years. He has a .294 combined batting average as a full-time player all 4 years and averaged 37 stolen bases a season. And his OPS plus was 119. That's a very impressive number. And this kid is only 28 years old. And to determine how good of a player he is, in the National Fantasy Baseball Contest, in which people pay literally thousands and thousands of dollars just to enter, the average draft position of Starling Marte this year was 23rd. And just to give you a reference point, 22nd was Joey Votto. That's how good Starling Marte is. But he's going to miss the next 80 games. This literally screws the Pirates, who are already thin as it was. Now they got to move Andrew McCutchen, who was terrible in the outfield in center last night. They got to move him back to center. The Pirates could not afford to lose one of their star players, and they just did. Nice knowing you, Pirates. Better get used to looking at the Reds from behind in the standings all season long. Wow. It's amazing how things change in a couple of weeks.
Holy cow. What a rain delay. 40 days and 40 nights. I'm telling you, there's an ark in the parking lot that smells to high heaven. There's enough crap in that thing to fertilize the Gobi Desert.
Other major league notes, Eric Thames, who had hit home runs in five straight games, did not homer last night, so I guess his career's over, but he did have two doubles, so you can add those up to make another home run. Interesting game last night in Atlanta as the Washington Nationals came to town. Atlanta riding a four-game winning streak, and they were going to do anything it took to keep that streak going because Max Scherzer came in, dominated the Braves for seven innings, and then that questionable Nats bullpen came in, and the game became close in the ninth inning. So now the Braves are down by two runs with two runners on, two outs of the ninth. Chase D'Arnaud at bat for the Braves. He swings and misses, and the game's over, right? Well, no. Somehow third base coach Ron Washington does his best car salesman act and convinces horrible umpire C.B. Buckner, and just look up C.B. Buckner's umpiring stats and you'll see why he's a horrible umpire. Ron Washington somehow convinced C.B. Buckner that it was a foul ball, and if you saw the replay, he missed it by at least 6 or 8 inches. So they bring the teams back out onto the field. The game was over, so they bring him back out on the field. Sean Kelly, the relief pitcher for the Nats, strikes out Chase D'Arnaud again. So they basically won two games right there. But then Jason Wirth, that old curmudgeon from the Phillies and the Dodgers in the past, gets all over C.B. Buckner for having to do it all over again. And Jason Wirth had complete reason to do it because in an earlier at-bat in the game, Jason Wirth took three straight pitches, all of them that, according to the pitch tracks, all of them were outside, and C.B. Buckner called all three of them strikes. So Jason Wirth had every reason to be pissed off. Not just because he had to go back out to the outfield for a fourth strike, but because he had gotten rung up on three pitches out of the strike zone. Just another night in Atlanta's new stadium, right? Something tells me Jason Wirth is getting thrown out of the game tonight, somehow, some way.
Jesus looks in for the sign and holy cow, wait a minute. Oh no, look who's running out to the field. It's Judas, the kissing bandit. He lays a big wet one on the Lord, and out comes Herod from the dugout, and he's out of here.
You know, we talked yesterday about the UK football rings and how every 7-6 team that loses a bowl game deserves a championship ring. The Chicago Cubs gave their rings, obviously more prestigious rings. They gave theirs out on opening day last week, but everybody who received a ring had to sign a waiver saying that they could never sell their ring under any condition, and if they did, they would have to sell it back to the Cubs organization for $1. So if you see any Cubs championship ring on eBay, you might want to either A, buy it quick, or report it to the Cubs because they're breaking the law. My thing is this. If you're a world champion, you win the World Series, yes, you get a ring, and you deserve it. But to make these guys sign a waiver saying they can't sell it? Those Cubs rings are worth tens of thousands of dollars, I can promise you. Heck, they sold the first base bag from the Game 7 of the World Series last year. It went for $100,000 over the weekend. For the Cubs to make these players keep their championship rings, that's a little bit controlling. A little bit too much for me, if you know what I mean. Something like this could make you not win a World Series for, I don't know, say another 108 years. NFL news, Aaron Hernandez found dead this morning in his cell room in prison of an apparent suicide. I don't 100% believe that yet, but I guess that's what we'll have to go with. Just a sad ending to a sad life. That's basically all I can say about it. Speaking of the Patriots, the timing of this death, not very good because today is the day that the Patriots will be traveling to visit the White House and their old friend Donald Trump. But Tom Brady has backed out at the last minute, citing personal family matters. Sure he did. Something's happened. Something tells me Donald Trump is pissed because he was going to use this totally as a media opportunity. Not anymore.
Hey, Mo, you want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have been terrible for a long time, as we all know. But it's a new era in Jacksonville. They have a new coach. They have a new general manager. You might remember the general manager. His name is Tom Coughlin, the old Giants coach, who used to be the coach of the Jaguars during their best years. But Tom Coughlin is going down there, and he is tired of these players getting everything they want. So what's he doing? He just put his foot down and took away the ping pong table from the players' locker room because they're having too much fun in there. There you go, Coach Coughlin. That'll teach him. Get rid of that ping pong table. Because I'm sure every time those players are out on the field at practice or during a game, the first thing on their mind, man, I can't wait till this game is over so I can go play some more ping pong. There you go, Coach Coughlin. What are you going to do next? Take away their Atari?
The road to the Super Bowl is long and pointless.
But now, the two conference champs must survive a harrowing bye week that no one enjoys.
Bye weeks? Bronco Nagurski didn't get no bye weeks. And now he's dead. Well, maybe they're a good thing.
Speaking of the Giants, Odell Beckham was late for a community event for children yesterday because he had been to the Coachella concert event, whatever it is, over the weekend. And now it's come out that he's dating Amber Rose. There you go. Dating Amber Rose, hitting it hard at Coachella, and now you're late for a community event for children. That's a great way to start your offseason, Odell Beckham. Way to keep it real.
I'm catching a pass from Dan Marino. This is the greatest moment of my...
Woo-hoo! Harvey Gibson with a pick.
Get that moron.
Uh-oh.
Lateral to Bark. My spine.
More Giants news. Eli Manning, who's caught in this memorabilia gate controversy. The CEO of Steiner, who has all this memorabilia, was quoted as saying he'd, quote-unquote, like to think that the memorabilia he has is legit, but he doubts it. Oh, I totally doubt it. This is Eli Manning and the Manning family we're talking about. If you think they're on the up and up, you're as naive as 99% of the rest of the Americans who think the Mannings are just a great, wholesome American family, because they're not. And I don't have time on this show right now to get into all the reasons why, but just say it like this. It's all about the cash money for the Manning family. And if you don't believe that, go Google their history. And I can promise you this. Eli Manning, and there's proof of that email that came out a few days ago. Eli Manning is up to no good with this memorabilia stuff. Because I can promise you, the stuff that he gave away that he claims was game worn, not even close.
Aw, the Denver Broncos.
I think owning the Denver Broncos is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, explain to me why it isn't.
You just don't understand football, Marge.
Joe Mixon, the running back who got busted on video for beating up a woman while he was in Oklahoma, apparently now news is coming out that he also did the same thing when he was in high school. So it's not like this was a one-time deal. The father of a girl that he knew in high school is coming out making these allegations against Joe Mixon. Now, of course, as the American public like we are, we're not going to believe anything until we see it on video, because that's what happened with Joe Mixon. That's what happened with Ray Rice. We don't believe any of these crazy accusations, but when we see it, oh, they've got to be fired. They can't ever be anything again. So Joe Mixon, the hits just keep on coming, but he'll be drafted when the draft happens next week. I can promise you.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, Mac Daddy Stogie time. We hope you were on the White Sox last night. Big underdogs of the Yankees. They won that game, one of the shortest games of the year. I think it was 2 hours and 14 minutes. So props to the White Sox for getting us some more cash. We are rolling with our baseball picks. But tonight, it's about the NBA. We go back to our zigzag theory. And we have two examples tonight. Our zigzag theory for the NBA playoffs, very simple. We look at game two of a series, and we want to go against the team that won game one. So we want to take the loser of game one. Did they lose against the spread? And did they lose straight up? And are they an underdog in game two? When you see that, you can hit over the years. You can hit probably anywhere between 55 and 60% of those if you trust the process and stay disciplined. Because the first time we played this a couple of nights ago, we lost with Memphis getting 11.5 and they lost by 14. But tonight we have two examples of teams that lost both straight up and against the spread. We've got the Atlanta Hawks getting 5.5 against Washington. They lost game one. We'll take the Hawks tonight, zigzag theory style. And who in their right mind would take Oklahoma City tonight? They were 7.5-point dogs in game one, and they lost by 31, and it wasn't even that close. And they're 8.5-point dogs tonight. So this is easy money zigzag style tonight. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak, however that thing goes. The Atlanta Hawks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Zigzag Theory plays of the night, and you can take those two bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
Free! 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 That's nine frees!
And that does it for the Wednesday, April 19th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.